These words, this Psalm 78, became very great to me. These are precious words. And I think that this psalm writer did not speak of his own accord, but was driven by the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of God who spoke here. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. This was always the call of God to his people, that they should hear what he had to say to them. And we have already read in the prophet Isaiah, in verse 10, Isaiah 55 it was probably, yes, verse 10, God's word does not return void. When God speaks, then the word is something that it accomplishes what he sends it to do. God does not make empty words. They may be very simple in the ears of people and perhaps reprehensible, but they remain true and they are fulfilled because the mouth of God has spoken it. And so, also here the Lord has spoken to his people. Give ear, O my people, to my law. And I think that if God has ever spoken, he has spoken in our days. And if we ever should give ear, it's probably in these days what he has spoken. For we know that the time is very near, and as we have heard, his appearing is at hand. Then in verse 3 it says, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. When this verse was read, I had to think directly of the word that is almost similar to what John writes in his letter here to the saints. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is what John writes, and especially these words, what we have seen, what we have heard and what our hands have handled. Here, this psalmist, he says, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but showing it to the generation to come. Brothers and sisters, this was probably the will of God, that the mighty deeds of God should not be hidden under a bushel, but had to be spread further. They had to tell their children, they had to tell their descendants about what God had given them and what was important. And here again John, he does the same thing. He writes of things and speaks of what has been given to them from God. He does not keep it to himself, but he passes it on. And I think it has been passed on to our days. It is here for us. And so we are grateful to God that we are strengthened in looking up to Him through His Word also this morning. Yes, that's it. That they put their trust in God and do not forget the deeds of God. Brothers and sisters, I think when we look in our days, we too can only say that we should put our trust in God and not forget what He has done and what He is still doing, because I believe He is still at work. Do we believe it? Of course, He is still at work. But we must also see what He has done in the past time, and we must see what He is doing in our days, because He has not stopped. But it is also His will that we tell of the things, of the great deeds, to all who may still be far off, of things He has done. And so we are glad and grateful that we may hear such words this morning by grace. Isn't it wonderful? I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Yes, this is so wonderful. And we know our Lord has come and has said many things in parables. But you know, to His own, to them He has spoken the full truth. With others He may have spoken to them by parables or by sayings. But to His own He has revealed things and made it known to them how it will be. May He continue to be with us. We, you and I, we want to put our trust in Him. He has become all in all to us. May He continue to bless us. I would like to ask Brother Frank to say a few words to us. Here you go, Brother Frank. Praise the Lord. We have heard a lot of the Word of God, a very long psalm in the opening word, which says a lot about the history of Israel from its beginning to David, in its course, with the ups and downs, with faith and unbelief, with what was going on. Everything is described. On the one hand, the failure, the continuing failure of the people, and the continuing faithfulness of God. It faces itself again and again. And one can only say, He who will be in glory will be there by grace. He will be there because God has had mercy on him, loved him out, and called him out, and made him his own. And if you and I may believe that we will belong to this multitude, then we are saying that God has pardoned us, and that we will be there because of his mercy. Now, before I briefly summarize what has been said, I don't want to miss to greet our brother from Salzwedel, GDR, very briefly, and to welcome him in our midst. I just picked him up at the station, and the thought came to me that I have read the name Salzwedel often enough. We lived very close to the demarcation line, and yet somehow, although it is only maybe 6 kilometers away from the border, I guess it's about 5 or 6 kilometers, if I remember correctly. Yet there was a border, and we were on this side, and people were on the other side. When I look back today, you can ask yourself why you had to be on this side, just a few kilometers, and then there was the border. When I went to vocational school, I often drove to the border to watch, to look across to the other side. The thought came to me that this is how it can be in the kingdom of God. You can be very close to the border. The question is, which side do we stand on? Which side do we walk on? Which side are we on? And so may the Lord give us grace that we always want to be on the right side. The border goes through, we know that. We have not drawn it. Maybe God has drawn it. What is important is that we are on the right side of the line. It's not east or west, but what God has demarcated. Thoughts came to me from Matthew 13 when I heard all this, from Psalm 78, and then what was also read on. It says here in Matthew 13 from verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. To us, totally incomprehensible. And yet, the prophecy of the Scripture had to come true, which the Lord God had pronounced through the prophet Isaiah. And in this inexplicable way, it came true. The Lord has wrapped the meaning and significance of His speech in parables. They heard the parables. The meaning remained hidden from them. Thus, the Scripture, or the prophecy, of the prophet Isaiah was to be fulfilled, that with seeing eyes they would not see, with hearing ears they would not hear, and with their hearts they would not perceive. We would almost say, isn't it unfair when God deliberately keeps something hidden from people so that they don't see it? Do not let this thought enter your heart at all. God knows to whom He hides a thing and to whom He has to reveal it. God knows all things. We cannot judge Him. We cannot even judge one another. He is judge and lawgiver at the same time. He knows exactly what He is doing. Here it's written, whoever thinks he has something, from him will be taken what he has. For us, it is again incomprehensible that he who has received so little should have it taken away from him. But he who has will be given, so that he may have abundance. And I think that today, also because of the remark, there are so many remarks. If we were to listen to them or respond to them, it would leave us dumbfounded. But we have set our ears on what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We have prepared ourselves to listen to what the Lord is saying. You cannot listen with one ear to what God says and with the other to what people say. Then you are torn apart inside and you no longer know where you stand. But if you give both ears full hearing to the Lord, then we must say, God has entrusted much to us. And it says, to him who has, to him shall be added. But whoever thinks he has, what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. And I don't want to be one of them, because that would be bad. If a person thinks he has something from God, and he doesn't have it, and even if he has something, it will still be taken away from him. How sad is this? Here is a very big lesson. In the kingdom of God, no one can talk big or boast. We are all dependent on the grace of our God. With everything from beginning to end, it is by grace that we have been saved. By grace, we heard yesterday, Noah had built the ark. He had found grace before God. Who were all these people whom God had pardoned? People to whom He had spoken. People like you and me. We emphasized it last night. Many only knew what God spoke to them, and that in the appointed time. We, in this day and age, by the grace of God, have an overall view. I don't know whether Noah could know what God spoke to Abraham, or vice versa, whether the one lived before or later. Each one perhaps knew only that, or for the most part only that, which God spoke to himself. Then it was summarized into an Old Testament, and we find that people could no longer do anything with what God said to Abraham. They had their own interpretations, their own understanding of it. It is similar in the New Testament. Not that people don't have it, but they have their own thoughts about it. God has to speak to me and to you through His Word and through His Spirit before we can understand Him properly. And I think we can say He has spoken to us in these days. And not in parables, but freely and openly. And that which is still veiled is left to God anyway. That's how it is written. Where is it? Deuteronomy. This scripture we often mentioned. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. So it is, and so it remains. Into the secret things no one of us can enter. God must reveal it. He must communicate it to us by grace. Then I also noticed in the word from John's letter what is necessary to have fellowship with one another and to have fellowship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Truth is not what you and I say. Truth is what God has said. God's Word is the truth. Oh, how often you hear people saying, "I will tell you the truth." And they say anything but the truth. They say things according to their understanding and think that it is the truth. But the truth, in the sense that God means it to be, is really God's Word alone. Not what you and I have to say, but what God has said, that is truth. And that's why it is also written, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Not what we sometimes have to say, but what God has already said. It continues here, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Isn't that wonderful? In another place it is written, "He who walks in the light does not stumble. His way is enlightened. He sees where he is going. And if there is an obstacle, he will not be clumsy and just walk over it or fall over it." The light indicates to him and says, "There is an obstacle, get out of the way." Or somehow it will become clearer to the person what he has to do. But he who walks in darkness almost stumbles over himself. Yes, there are people who hook one leg behind the other and fall over their own leg. That also exists. And when you walk in darkness, you actually stumble over all kinds of things. And then you blame everyone else. No, no one else is to blame. He who walks in the light sees the way with God. He does not stumble. He looks up to his God, and his word is a lamp to our feet and a light on the path we have to go. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here Golgotha is brought to the fore, and then it is said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It almost sounds like a contradiction, but it is not. Two things are true. It is true that every human being is born in sin. We did not become sinners because we did this or that. We are conceived in sins, born in sins. We came into this world as sinners. So anyone who says he has no sin is lying to himself or even portraying God as a liar. But whoever has become a believer and cannot confess from the heart that God has laid all our sins on the Lamb of God. And as John said, behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, has not understood redemption. On the one hand, the admission that we are born in sins and considered as such in the eyes of God. On the other hand, that the Lamb of God has taken away our iniquity and sin and atoned, and we have become free. And therefore, hear this word of the Lord. It must be seen in the right light, and then all is well. Coming back to the one word in Romans, and with that we have to come to a close. Also a wonderful word. It's written already before. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. If we think that anyone is weak, it is not our duty to look favorably or complacently on ourselves and think that we are strong. But according to this word of God, we even have the duty to bear the weaknesses of those who are not as strong as we are, and not to look complacently on ourselves or think favorably of ourselves. There is a big difference between God's well-pleasing resting on a person and us being pleasing to ourselves. There is a world of difference. One is human deceit, and the other is the grace of God that has come upon your life and mine. And we can sort it out where we have taken our stand. You don't need to be a mathematician to be able to judge that in some way. And you don't need to have too much up here either, but simply to find out what kind of mind is really in you and me. Nothing more. That's enough. We don't need to ask anyone, what do you think about me, and how do I actually stand before God? When we read God's word, let us read this verse again. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. So, for my sake, one can think of what people call weaknesses, or even beyond that. and look favorably on oneself and despise the other in such a way that almost the word of the Lord is fulfilled, which referred to himself. He was the most despised of the children of men. And this hit our Lord very hard. He was the most celebrated, the greatest. Thousands ran to him. And suddenly, the most reviled, the most despised, the one shunned by men, the one who was cast out, both with the same man. Once the great Hosanna be to him who comes in the name of the Lord, and then crucify him. And you all know, I said it here before, when Brother Branham was talking about it, and he said, don't forget, it was the same people who shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, who later shouted, crucify, crucify him. In my heart I was thinking, man of God, I don't buy it. It must have been two different groups, one shouting this and the other shouting that. Today, the lessons have communicated so much to me that I don't need any more clarity. However, in one's personal life, and I really ask myself again and again, why a person has to go certain ways, and why he has to endure certain words of God fulfilled in his own body, soul, and spirit. Things that one had only known in theory before were suddenly experienced in practice. And I tell you, theory and practice are very far apart. One is in our head, and the other is something we have to go through personally. Here it goes on to say, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Here he has all those who reviled God. Their revilings fell on Christ. They could not even comprehend it. But so it is written. Here Psalms 69:10 is stated. And it had to be fulfilled. Then we read on. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. How do they give comfort? Not only in words, but they show us that God has helped in every situation and shown us a new way in hopelessness. And when I come to the meeting like this, I plan and think, you just owe it to your brothers and your sisters to say to them, as long as the Lord does not give a new instruction, let them forgive you, but they shall let me sit, and I simply will not speak in the meantime. I have resolved to do it very often, and I have done it over and over again. But then I think about how much precious things God has given us by grace. And if we don't experience anything world-changing here at this time, we still rejoice in what God has already done and given. And as Peter said, that he, by repeating, wanted to keep the mind alert to all that God has spoken through the holy prophets and apostles. If we have nothing else to show, let us be content for the moment to rejoice in what God has done and to keep focusing on His speaking, His words, His revelations, as it was also said in the Psalm, that it should be proclaimed to the generations to come. God has done great things. Sometimes Brother Brim said, I must withdraw, must remain silent for a time, and then I will appear again. At one point he says, I am going to grow a long beard, and I am going to become a tour guide there in Alaska. And then when God calls me, I will be right here. But he didn't get to it. He kept wanting to do it, but he had the same experience like the prophet Jeremiah. When I resolved to speak no more, it burned like a fire in my bones, and I could not help speaking of what God had done. I really catch myself very often. If you would know, it's just good that you don't know everything. You may already know too much, but you don't know everything. And so, there are some things you have to go through. And how I would like to go somewhere where no one sees me and no one hears me, and wait to see if God has a commission. And yet, I so often plan it and can't make it happen. I don't know what God has in mind. One thing I do know, it is not my will, but His will that will be done. Because it is not about my cause and your cause, it is about God's cause. And before we rush into this or that, let us wait and calmly contemplate the things that God has given us and entrusted to us. And when God begins to work, when the pillar of fire rises, then there is still time for us to set out and follow the pillar of fire and see what God will then do. Everything we do on our own will be punished on that day anyway, because it was an obstacle to God's working. If human activity in the kingdom of God were not an obstacle for God, then everyone could do what they wanted. But because human activity is opposed to God's activity, it is an obstacle. We have to wait until God does something, and then it is also well done. Here it says, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. How did Christ receive you and me, just as we were, outside, inside, everything around? Not one person can add a cubit to his height or a cubit to his width. You all know what I mean. God's word says it clearly. No one can add anything to his life, not a cubit. Everything has already been added by God. God has received us in Christ just as we were. And so we have to receive one another through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we first want to judge everyone and beat everyone up, then we'll have no time to think about ourselves and will not be ready when the Lord comes. Let us receive one another as God has received us in Christ, and then everything will go well. Perhaps we should still read this Psalm 78, which touched in particular my heart. It is one of the thoughts that I have to express in this circular letter, especially concerning these mysteries and the puzzling language of the Lord, when it says here, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth." And what comes next? Then come sayings, then come riddles. And they hear and do not understand, perceive and do not comprehend. It says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. They have heard, but they have not understood." And what is wrapped in riddles must be left until the time comes when it pleases God to reveal and make known what it is all about. One cannot set out on one's own to fathom or expound divine things. You can only do one thing: wait until the Holy Spirit leads us in, until it pleases God to do the thing Himself, to realize it. There is no other way. Whoever tries to interpret certain sayings of Brother Branham will find that he has made so many different statements on the same subject that there is no point in committing oneself to this or that, but to wait and see. Yes, he had to do it this way, so that people would be put to shame with their own interpretations. And in the end, a seed of God will remain that will witness what God will do at the end of the time of grace. And we can wait for that confidently. I am no longer in a hurry. The hurry is only for the salvation of the soul. Hurry, save your soul. And when the soul is saved, then no man needs to hurry. Then you only need to wait, walk with God, and be inwardly attuned to what God wants to give. Here it says, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. They should inform the generation to come, and teach the children which should be born, and declare them, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God. Yes, He did everything. He dropped food in the midst of their camp where they dwelt. He just sent an east wind, and it brought all that they needed. Here it says in verse 25, "Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And He let it fall in the midst of their camp." Flesh was there. The feathers were still on it. They could take it fresh and prepare it. With God, all things are possible. When He says, "Now a million, this and that shall come into being," then it's there in the next moment. And when He says, "Let the wind bring it down here into the camp," then the east and south wind bring the thing together, and it already falls down in the right place. Our God has all the possibilities that a human being can think of and not think of. We can't even comprehend and measure what He is able to do. Let us express our trust in Him anew, and not let it happen to us as it's written here. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. May this word not come true in any of us, in any of us who love God, that we do not speak a word with our mouth and utter a lie with our tongue. When we say, O God, I love you, let it be true. And do you know, when it is true, it's true when it agrees with the word. If you want to love God, whom you do not see, how can you do it if you do not love your brother whom you see? A person can say 100 times, he can say on his knees, while standing, while lying down, he can also stand hid, and he can say, O God, I love you. And if he does not love his brother, he is a liar, and his tongue has deceived him, his heart has duped him. He does not know what he is saying. He is lying to himself. After all, man cannot lie to God, because God not only sees through the words he hears, but also the thoughts of the hearts. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. God made a covenant with us on the cross of Calvary. Every person who has been included in this covenant cannot but claim this divine covenant making for himself. And we must say, there is the body of the Lord. All the members of his body have been purchased there. The blood has been shed for many, and each one who is a member of the body of Jesus Christ will discern the body of the Lord and will consider himself a member and say, Lord, I may by grace belong to the church of the firstborn, to those who were called out, who were chosen before the foundation of the world. Those who do not discern the body of the Lord will make their own decisions. He who belongs to the body of the Lord will discern the body of the Lord and will see and consider himself as a member of this body, and not only himself alone, every brother and sister as a member of the body of Jesus Christ by grace. May God grant this to me, and may he grant this to all of us by grace. Then you all know, through Solomon, God gave an example in the Old Testament. It was about the child of the two women there. And what divine wisdom was revealed there. Of course, the fact, the woman who was not the mother of the child, she said, divide it into two halves. And the woman who had given birth to the child and carried it under her heart, she said, no, don't do it. Let it live. That was the mother. That was divine wisdom made manifest. You know, when we are the Lord's church and are born again believers or children, who will say divide and so on? People, you don't have to ask anybody. The thing speaks for itself. It speaks for itself. They have not carried them under their heart. They did not experience the birth. They have not gone through the labor pains. What does Paul say? Ye have 1,000 instructors, but few fathers in Christ. And he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, those who have not given birth, who have not endured labor pains, who have not sympathized with all those who have been added, who have been born into the kingdom of God, he can easily divide on all sides. According to the motto, everyone gets a piece of the pie. But he who has been born, who has been carried under the heart, with him it's different. He will not divide. He will say, leave it whole. It belongs together. Do you understand the meaning of things? That we discern the body of the Lord. This woman could discern and knew, I have carried the child under my heart. Let the woman have it. If only the child remains alive. Divine wisdom was revealed there. Oh, I tell you, he who carries the kingdom of God on his heart, he who is in the kingdom of God and who has part in it, cannot treat things lightly. For him it is a matter between life and death. And he says, no, do not divide it, leave it whole, for I have carried it under my heart. Oh, that God would help us to truly carry this intimate, spirit-breathed love in our hearts by grace. Let this be the wish and prayer of us all. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. We give thanks for your precious and holy word. We thank you for your grace, which has carried us until this hour and this moment. Lord, we also bring you the prayer request of Sister Bock from southern Germany. May you help. May you intervene, Lord. Lord, we know. You know what is needed, O God. And therefore, we look up to you in this moment and ask you, Lord, help, save, O Lord, deliver. Lord, bless. You know what is needed, Lord. For the sake of your holy name, be praised, Lord, also for this hour of grace, for the blessing we received by grace. Hallelujah. Continue to be with us is our fervent prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.